Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jorge, for that. It was lovely. And I just want to say I have never, ever started a church service with Crosby, Stills, and Nash before. And wow, that was more than fun. So I hope you enjoyed that. And also, I want to say that it is always an intensely, how do I say, emotional experience speaking after joys and sorrows. And today's joys and sorrows were particularly poignant. And I just want to honor all the pain and all the joy that exists here in the congregation this morning. And I'm delighted to be bringing a message today about connections, because I think that's why we are actually here, is to help with connections during our joys and during our sorrows. And connections are actually a really particular focus of the principles of Unitarian Universalism, as stated in our concluding principle number 7, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And consider those phrases, interdependent web and all existence, which is essentially means that you and your discrete individual self can find a connecting path, however slender, however tenuous, to anything else in the universe, sort of like a cosmic version of that parlor game, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, which asserts that within 6 moves, you can connect any Hollywood actor who has ever lived through their film work to the actor Kevin Bacon. Now, for those of you who need a briefing, Kevin Bacon, movie actor, has done lots and lots of movies. He became a heartthrob in the 1980s for his starring role in that dancing versus religion teen rebellion flick called Footloose. So every actor who has ever worked in Hollywood has what's called a Bacon number. Kevin Bacon, of course, is 0. Anyone who's worked directly with Bacon has a score of 1 and so on. And because miracles occur, there is actually on the web an astounding website, no doubt conceived of and constructed by a passionate humanist in some basement somewhere, called the Oracle of Bacon. Now, the Oracle of Bacon will determine any actor's Bacon number, as well as provide you the connections in that particular web of getting there. So, for example, a great comedian of silent films, Charlie Chaplin, who was in the movie Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? With James Cagney, who was in Ragtime with Elizabeth McGovern, who was in She's Having a Baby with, wait for it, Kevin Bacon. So Charlie Chaplin, who was born in 1889, the same year that Grover Cleveland was president, has a Bacon number of 3. The highest score, of course, is 6. And let me tell you, I played around with the Oracle of Bacon for way too long. And I never discovered a score higher than 3. Even the dog Lassie has a Bacon number of 3. Now, in first glance, this seems astounding, though in reality, on closer inspection, it's fundamentally math that proves how connected we really are. And to hammer this particular nail just one more time, I have an Abraham Lincoln number of 5, because I have shaken the hand of a person who has shaken the hand of a person who has shaken the hand of a person who has shaken the hand of a person who actually shook the hand of Abraham Lincoln. Because back in the 1950s, there was a man who dressed like Abraham Lincoln, complete with overcoat and top hat, and he served as a connecting node of the shaking the hand, shaking the hand, shaking the hand chain, because he visited a grammar school in Chicago in the 1950s, and he shook the hand of the little boy who then became my friend George, decades later. Now, George and I, we have shaken hands many times. And if you and I have ever shaken hands in the sanctuary at SUUF, I hope it comes as welcome news that you have a Lincoln number no higher than 6. So yes, 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 we get it, we get it. The interdependent web of all existence is an undeniable truth, as it is an undeniable fact that we, by our very existence, by our very breathing, we are part of this web. There is no escaping that existential fact. And to take it one step both further and farther, this interdependent web, per se, is not two-dimensional and flat. Don't think of it as a web, a flat web, Rather, it is a multi-dimensional web shooting off in all directions. It's shooting off backwards and forwards through time. So when we heard the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song this morning, performing Joni Mitchell's lyrics to Woodstock, and they got to that rousing chorus, they actually sang scientific truth. We are stardust. We are golden, billion-year-old carbon. And as scientist and writer David Hamilton states in his article, You Are Made of Stardust, he writes that basically the basic components of everything within you and around you were made in a star, and that you are deeply connected to all of it. He explains in layman's terms the lives and deaths of stars, the explosions, the vast scattering of elements, and then the slow reformation of material. And I quote, eventually gravity draws this stardust together to form planets like the Earth. So everything on Earth, from rocks, stones, water, crystals, to all the living things, every person, animals, insects, birds, fish, grass, trees, flowers, is made of stardust. Every atom of your DNA is stardust. Every atom of your skin, your blood, your bones is stardust. Every atom of the oxygen you breathe, stardust. You are an intimate part of the whole universe. You are literally made of stars. The universe gave birth to you, and you contain its essence within yourself. You might say that you are a form that the universe is currently taking. Close quote. So not only can you trace yourself back to Abraham Lincoln, you can also trace yourself back to an exploding star and make a scientifically sound claim that you are the form that the universe is currently taking. Now, to circle back to that chorus from Joni Mitchell, let's add the final two lines, which take on a religious and spiritual tone. Here's the whole chorus. We're stardust, we're golden, billion-year-old carbon, caught in the devil's bargain, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. I love that line. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden. Now, reeling all the Bacon numbers and the Lincoln numbers back in, let's actually consider the you number, as in Y-O-U, you number. You're the you of the center point, the foundational zero number of your life, of the universe as expressed through you, with all your myriad ones connected to and passing through you in all sorts of directions. Family and friends, neighbors, cashiers, plumbers and bakers and tax attorneys and chiropractors and garbage collectors, everyone who plays a direct person-to-person role in your life. And you realize, I trust, that this is the of which you are a part portion of our seventh principle, that you are a vital connector in the interdependent web of all existence. You are a node of connections, and radiating out from you are scores and hundreds and thousands of fellow creatures made of stardust. Now, how healthy are your connections? How healthy are your relations with all these creatures who are living within the first and primary radiance of your portion of the interdependent web of all existence? And yes, you heard that phrase correctly, your primary radiance. Because everyone in this multidimensional and interdependent web practices primary radiance. And I think this is where the word respect, as in the respect for the interdependent web of all existence, comes into play most intensely within the direct influence of your primary radiance. Sort of like that bumper sticker that reads, think globally, act locally. Because for me, at least, the interdependent web of existence, sort of like this vast and flossy concept, sort of like being encouraged to respect the Milky Way, you know? Whereas if I'm guided to respect the primary radiance between me and my childhood friend, who apparently has become a virulent anti-vaxxer and pandemic denier and likes to remind everyone of that fact on Facebook posts with quote-unquote scientific evidence, well, that's a different matter entirely. That is a difficult matter. And with apologies to those here among us this morning who may be pandemic deniers, One thing our global pandemic has shown us beyond the shadow of a doubt is the interconnected web of our existence on Earth. Within months of its appearance, this virus spread and mutated and brought the world to its knees. Nearly 150 million people have been infected, with over 3 million deaths worldwide and 500,000 dead in this country alone. Now, math and the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon tell us that we are not too far removed from someone who has died from COVID. Now, armed with this fact, with the virus circulating, with the fragility of this planet in high relief, I hope that we are being inspired to care for our particular portion of the interdependent web, to care for it physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, by maintaining healthy relations with the plants and the animals and the people in our direct contact. In essence, to making certain that our primary radiance is bright and beaming. So bright, in fact, that all the ones in your life have to put on sunscreen. That'd be quite amazing. And believe me, I get it. This can be a difficult, difficult slog. I, for one, I dearly miss meeting in the sanctuary in Mount Vernon. Worshiping with you folks on Sunday mornings via computer is preferable than not worshiping at all. But I am so very eager to get back into the sanctuary and actually wear shoes and pants again during worship services. Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm wearing pants. Shoes, not so much. And if there are some relationships that I've had to take special care of, relationships that have become strained and frayed from the many pressures put on over the last year, from racial justice issues to the pandemic to the election to the climate change. Like, who knew that I had right-wing racists in my close-in family? Who knew that I had left-wing anti-vaxxers in my close-in family? Who knew that I had elders in my family who think the presidential election was tainted with quote-unquote shenanigans? Who knew? Now, math and 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon suggest that everyone in this congregation, you and you and you and you, we're all confronting the similar issues. People who you love and respect and admire, holding different views and behaving in ways counter to your deeply held values. And math and 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon tells us that this is also happening right here in this congregation. This conflict can fray nerves. It can lead to some very strained relations. I know firsthand. Just this month, I was engaged in one of those email exchanges about police violence in America with someone who I love dearly. I would donate a kidney for. And during this exchange, articles and links and opinions were volleying back and forth like some vicious Wimbledon tennis match, with each playing for and maneuvering some sort of slam with a righteous spike to end the discussion once and for all, to win it, game, set, and match. Thank you very much. My blood was boiling. And after one exchange, I thought to myself, do I enjoy boiling my blood? Is this helpful? Is this healthy? Is this exchange changing hearts and minds, or are we simply sharpening our bayonets for some sort of protracted trench warfare? I did not feel like I was tending to my primary radiance very well. And again, I think that we are all dealing with this on some level. And because we are called by our religion to have respect for the interdependent web of all existence, I believe that that respect means keeping our portion of the vast web in good working order, in good radiating order. I want to radiate. I want to be a positive force in the universe. I want this religion, Unitarian Universalism, to help me do that. And I want this religion to help you and you and you and you. I want you to help radiate as well as we all possibly can. And that radiating its brightest when we are in right relations with those number ones within our interconnected sphere. And if everyone in this congregation is in right relations with everyone in their sphere, then this congregation becomes a bright spot in the interconnected universe of creatures made of stardust and so on and so on and so on. And so to close, I actually want to share with you something called the Right Relations Covenant, which is being practiced in my home congregation in Port Townsend. It takes the original covenant statement of Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and puts it into action. And first, here is the covenant statement. We are travelers. We meet for a moment in this sacred place to love, to share, and to serve. Let us use compassion, curiosity, reverence, and respect while seeking our truths. In this way, we will support a just and joyful community, and this moment shall endure. Now, the Right Relations Covenant reads as follows. Again, it takes elements of the covenant statement and focuses on some of the themes. And so the covenant reads, we, the members of Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, covenant to compassion, to be kind, speak from the heart, communicate directly with the person or persons involved using honesty and care. Consider what is the most loving thing we can do or say right now. I love that one. I'm just going to repeat it. Consider what is the most loving thing we can do or say right now. Forgive ourselves and others when we don't live up to this covenant and begin again in love. Under the theme curiosity, be curious about the other person's point of view. Assume that others have good intentions. Be willing to admit that we are not always right. Be willing to let go of being in control of the situation. Reflect upon how our projections, past issues, wounds, and tendencies color our stance. And be open to receiving feedback from others when the time is right. Under the theme of reverence, honor our seven principles, appreciate and lift up the actions of others, balance personal needs with the good of the whole, honor the sacred space that we have created as a community of fellow travelers, and finally, respect. Listen deeply so that others feel heard. Avoid judging, blaming, shaming, or trying to fix others. Discern the difference between gossip and healthy communication. Respect confidentiality and personal boundaries. Trust that conflicts can be worked through rather than avoided. And respect each individual's unique learning style, social ability, life experience, gender identity, socioeconomic status, mental condition, race, age, personality, sexual orientation, theology, and politics. Now, I absolutely love the fact that a Unitarian Universalist congregation on the Olympic Peninsula is working to put this into practice in our little town and in our congregation. And it is not easy. Like most UU congregations, there are factions and fissures, there are flower children and flamethrowers. But the point is, we all have to get along and respect our web of connections so that our values can spread as far and as fast as any virus you may have heard of. And just remember, you have an Abraham Lincoln number of at least six. Abraham Lincoln, who said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. That's my religion. So let's all go forth. Let's all do good and shine with a primary radiance in our part of the interconnected web of all existence. Respectfully submitted. Amen.